Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
We are back in our series, Foundations for Life. Genesis 9, verse 1. Let's read the word of the Lord. If you're all there, say a big amen. And God blessed Noah and his son, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds of the sky, on every creature that moves along the ground and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Verse 3, everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I have given you green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that still has its life blood in it. And for life blood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal and from every human being too. I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Whoever sheds human blood by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you, the birds and livestock and all the wild animals and all that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, and this is a sign of the covenant that I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. Verse 17, so God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. Whew, here we go. Father, thank you so much for what you've done, what you're going to do. Move in great power now. In the moments that remain in this 9 a.m. service, touch people online, touch all those here. May we know that you have spoken to us. May we be forever changed as a result. Every man, every woman, every child be brought low and you be glorified, you be magnified. May the effects of this service be far-reaching even to eternity. I bind demon power in every lying assignment that would bring confusion. I pray, oh God, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Once you say hi to three or four people and say, oh, brace yourself. We do have notes, which is our custom. We'd encourage you to fill the notes in as we move along, although I keep no promise to you to stick to them. I've just returned, as many of you know, from New York City, where we went on a exploratory mission, spying out the land in a place called Newburgh, New York. We looked at a property that is potentially ours and praying about that. There's a number of things that I don't have peace about currently, so there's no action there. But, you know, you've got to put your feet on the land if the Lord wants you to take it. God speaks you to take it. You got to go. And so as we went, very inconvenient, flew in the middle of the night, was there on the ground for less than 48 hours, flew straight back all the way to New York and back. I'm not 100% convinced that the trip wasn't entirely about something else. Well, certainly we're on assignment and seeing the property that we looked at, in our prayer meeting that morning in a place called Newburgh, which is right on the Hudson, about an hour, depending on traffic, from Manhattan. In our prayer meeting, the Lord spoke to me and said, see the building, meet with everybody, pray about it, and as soon as you're done, jump in the car, go straight to the bottom of Manhattan, go to Wall Street, and I want you to go to the St. Paul's Chapel, and I want you to pray. Now, I know what that meant, and you might not, but I did. The St. Paul's Chapel is the oldest public building in all of New York, and it is the actual place of Ground Zero. That is where the Twin Towers fell, just right next to that historic chapel. It is called the President's Chapel. The reason it's called the President's Chapel is when the first president of the United States of America, General George Washington, was inaugurated, he had a prayer meeting right after his inauguration, and he took a congregation of people to St. Paul's Chapel and had a three-hour prayer meeting dedicating and consecrating the United States of America. So when God spoke to me to go down there in the week just before the birth of our country, which we'll celebrate on July 4th, I knew what was going on. I knew he was bringing me back just to declare and to proclaim the covenant with America and to stand upon the words that were prayed. It is hard to say exactly what took place inside that chapel that is now so woke, make me want to get sick. Oh, horrible. I talked to one of the ministers that were there, and he couldn't tell me the gospel. I was kind. I was kind. I wasn't rude. But I just wanted to see if they were still preaching the gospel. And it's kind of like, well, what do you mean? General George Washington's prayer. An aspect of that. This is taken from his inauguration, but it'll work because it's not recorded what was prayed actually in that chapel on that day. Almighty God, he prayed at the inauguration. We make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, and thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, which is love, humility, and temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of the blessed religion, and without humble imitation of those examples in these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation. Let me break that down for a second. Unless people serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed religion, we can never be a happy nation. That's what he said. And I will prove it at his closing. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's a prayer that he prayed. It's got old English in it, but you break it down and you look at the founding fathers, which three quarters of their speech was filled with scripture. I mean, when they spoke to you, they spoke scripture. They would memorize large volumes of scripture. So three quarters, one third, pardon me, one third of their speech was scripture. So our trip, we went there and we got through traffic and got down there, put my foot on the ground at noon. And if you know revival history, the noontime prayer meeting of New York City brought a great revival. And I just felt like God was saying, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to pour out my spirit again. I'm coming again. The prayers are eternal. I want you to say that. Prayers are eternal. And so it's a covenant, really, that he made, that our nation has made. And oh, God, we need your help. Come on, would you just pray for a moment? We need your help as we seek to understand covenant this morning. We ask you, God, intervene in the United States of America. All right, let's get into this. Again, we've been in a series called Foundations for Life, first 11 chapters. We're in chapter 9. We're getting to the close. There are understandings and biblical truth from these 11 chapters that if you do not understand them, you will not understand doctrine all doctrine stands on these first 11 chapters. And that's not that's not hyperbole. That's actual theology. And so to not understand them, you'd have confusion in different places. This is paramount to understanding God's word. So here, Noah, they've just been through the flood, and you can get all of these online on our podcast, on Spotify, Facebook, YouTube. You can look them up. They're all available for free there. This next message now, a new beginning. Noah, another Adam, is given the same command, basically, that Adam was given. Does it sound familiar when we read it? God blessed Noah and his sons. The very thing he says to Adam, he says to Noah, be fruitful, multiply. He receives really the same command that Adam gets. In fact, the Adamic covenant, that's the very first covenant. We see here the Noahic covenant. It moves. There's six major covenants in Scripture, and I'll review those. Adamic is the first one. The second one is the Noahic, which is what we're looking at now. Anybody know the third? Abrahamic. Anybody know the fourth? Davidic. Pardon me. That's not right. I got myself now. There's an Abrahamic, the Noahic, the Mosaic. Thank you, Pastor Karen. And anyway, we'll get to my notes here in just a second. A coffee, please. Somebody get me a coffee. Amen. Noah receives a command to do the same thing that Adam did. Noah receives a generous permission, basically saying everything is yours, but a single prohibition, and it is fascinating, the prohibition he receives. You must not, verse 4, you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for the lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. It's profound. God sees man's blood as sacred, verse 6. Man's blood is sacred. Blood is sacred. Because man bears the image of God, right in your notes. Man bears the image of God. The image of God is a biblical doctrine regarding the nature and purpose of mankind. You are made in God's image. Your dog, as much as you love your dog, is not made in God's image. Yesterday, I discovered... understood as we were visiting someone that their dog is going to be put to sleep. And the dog's been around a long time, 18 years or something like that. So it's the last I've seen the dog over many, many years. I've seen this dog. So now it's the last time I'm going to see the dog. And I looked at the dog and I thought, I don't usually pet this particular dog. It's got a lot of hair on it and stuff. And my wife's allergic, so... But it's the last time I'm going to see the dog. So I went and I'm like, hey, it's deaf. Okay, so we finally got the attention of the dog. It's suffering. And I got the dog and I looked into its eyes. And I said, you know, it's been nice knowing you. I pet him. Okay, the dog did not understand what I was saying. Do they have a spirit? They do, but it's not a human spirit. There's nefesh and neshama. I taught this to you. You can go back and lead. A dog has a nefesh, doesn't have a neshama. You have a spirit that's come from God that has a live spirit, but it operates by instincts. It can learn things, but it does not have a spirit like you and I have. And the man who's not kind to animals is a wicked man. Proverbs talks about that. You need to be kind to animals. There's something wrong with you if you abuse animals. We're made in God's image. John Piper said it this way, images are made to image. What does that mean? If you're made in God's image, you're made to image God. Let me just say it like that. And so this is a clear declaration of that. And the blood represents life. Blood represents life. And life is God's property. All life, but the dog's life, the turtle's life, your life, my life, all life comes from God. They're not the same. A whale is not the same as a human being. Amen. A baby seal is not the same as a baby in the uterus. All life belongs to God, and blood would be used for a specific purpose, for atonement. For atonement. In Acts 15 and verse 29, you're to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, and from meat strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You can't drink blood. Everybody say, don't drink blood. Matthew 26, 28. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. In Hebrews 9 and 22, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Blood is to be used for atonement. Ephesians 1 and 7, in him we have redemption through his what? Through his blood. Blood is sacred. And so he's declaring that to Noah. In Revelation 12, verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. So understand that God relates, it's a Noahic covenant, and he understand that God relates to us on the basis of covenant. You say, even today? Yes, especially, yes. Covenant, let me give you a definition, a solemn agreement between that is binding on all parties. One definition is the promises that were in the Bible between God and the Israelites, but that's really, it's not just between God and the Israelites, between God and his people. What covenant tells us about God. I'm trying to get you to understand covenant. Covenant is important. Bump your neighbor and say, covenant's important. Covenant is important. If you're married, you're in a covenant. What it tells us about God, God's not random. Come on, say God's not random. No, God's not random. He's not arbitrary. He's not capricious. He doesn't just show up and just decide, no, I just think I'll kill everybody today. No, but I'm gonna let this group live. He just doesn't do things on a whim. He's very clearly righteousness and truth at the foundations of his throne. He's a just God, and he operates on the basis of covenant. And you'll see throughout Scripture, he invites us to trust him through covenant. And we find security in him. What you need is you need security. I know I do. Where do I get it? From God. The government ain't going to give you any security. Don't try to find it in your job either. It's only God that can give you real security. Only God can give, come on, make it personal. Only God can give me real security. Security, acceptance, significance, those are three things you must have as a human being. And if you don't have them, you will be finding yourself in lack. So security is a big deal. And He invites us to be a part of a covenant. He initiates covenant. In the Adamic covenant with Adam, Adam didn't come up with that. He was a pile of dirt. God came up with it. The Noahic covenant, Noah didn't come up with that. God came up with it. The Abrahamic covenant, Abraham didn't come up with the Abrahamic covenant. God came up with it. The Davidic covenant, God came up with the Davidic covenant. I'll talk about those in a minute. What covenant are we in now? The new covenant. Come on, someone say, we're in the new. Thank God. He initiates the covenant, thus showing his love and mercy. He's a personal God who desires relationship. You see, all the covenants are a picture of God reaching to man. Let me help you with this. I'm the author, Adam. I made you. Here's the deal. Multiply, get with your wife, multiply. Don't eat the fruit. Oh, okay. All covenants, including the new, there's covenant stipulations or requirements or responsibilities. There's covenant promises, and there's covenant signs. What covenant tells us about us? So tell what it tells us about God. He initiates us. He loves us. He has mercy. What it tells us about us, you're important. You're important. You can choose to be in covenant with God, or you can choose to reject it. Noah could have said, that's nice. I don't care. Give me the blood. Ugh. Just start drinking blood. He would break the covenant with God. Don't drink the blood. There's responsibilities, and it's fascinating to me that God trusts us to fulfill those. Come on, someone say, I'm important. Our whole life is not about ourselves. See, another thing that it says, your whole life is not about you. It's really about relating to God. Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all things will be added. Don't worry about what you're wearing. Consider Solomon in all of his glory. He wasn't arrayed like one of the lilies of the field. He couldn't toil. They don't toil, they don't spin. Solomon wasn't arrayed like the lilies. Come on, you of little faith. If you'll seek first the kingdom, it's from the Sermon on the Mount, and he'll add all things. Our whole life is about relating to God. If your relationship with God is not right, your relationship with man will be jacked up. So that's kind of broad spectrum. It is. It absolutely is. Our goal in life is to know him and to surrender to his will and fulfill his will and plan. What covenant tells us about history is that God's involved in history. I mean, just think about these covenants throughout time in the earth. It's God reaching to man, man having to respond. And it shows that God's involved in the history of the earth. Beautiful. Because of God's involvement, history has purpose. This is not some aimless moment in history. We're standing on the precipice of the close of all time. We do not know what's going to happen in Russia. We don't know what's going to happen in the Ukraine. We don't know what's going to happen in America. God help America. We don't know what's happening. I mean, it's hard to know from the news. It's hard to know what's true. And while the whole world is focused on the tragedy that happened by the Titanic, all kinds of nightmares happened in our government that were not even talked about. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, makes me mad. Where is the righteousness? God intervene in America. But he's involved in history. Aren't you glad that God doesn't turn a blind eye? Aren't you glad that God is concerned? Aren't you glad that God sees everything? He said, I can't believe they got away with that. They only got away with it for now. Because in the end, you cannot manipulate the Son of Man. In the end, I don't care what kind of Ponzi scheme or what kind of smoke and mirrors you might have things going on for the highest level of office, that there might be corruption. Oh, but in the end, the record will be set straight. It's not life a la the Lion King. In the circle of life, there ain't no circle of life. Man is given but one life to live, and after that, the judgment, baby. Raise your hands to heaven and say, woo! Yeah, you be sure to take care of yourself. You do what's right. Cause ain't nobody going to be standing next to you on that day. Just you. It makes every moment in life worth living. Every second of life counts. You will stand before, I'm born again. Yeah, you still get judged. It's not judgment unto condemnation, meaning hell, but there is a judgment seat of the believer, and you need to be aware of that. Understanding covenant, how it affects us today. You look at the structure of covenant, and I've said it a number of times. There's responsibilities or stipulations. If you do this, if my people who were called by my name, that's covenant language. If then clause is covenant language. If you do this, then I will do this. That's covenant. Anytime you see an if and a then, it's covenant language. And so there's responsibilities. There's a promise. If you do this, then I will do this. And then there's frequently a sign. Again, covenants throughout history. There's six major ones. Five I've listed in your notes. The Adamic covenant, which I spoke to you about. The Noahic covenant, which is right here. Responsibility. Noah and his descendants are to be responsible for multiplying, for filling the earth. They're given permission to eat animals and do whatever, but not the blood. And if you kill man, now you can't help but read this text and start thinking about abortion. I hope it crossed your mind, because you just can't kill life. What is it, seven million babies have been killed? I mean, I don't know exactly the right number. I've forgotten, but forgive me. You can't just murder babies and expect that there's not going to come a judgment for that. A sign of the Noah covenant is the rainbow. And it's no wonder that people have hijacked that to mean something else. I mean, I found myself in New York. There's so many rainbows and so much on the front of that Episcopalian church where our president dedicated our country and had a 3-hour prayer meeting. The flag of the rainbow flies high. And oh, it was Pride Month. And the rainbow has been hijacked by a group of people that are demanding their way. And it's wicked. You got to see the rainbow was originally the sign of the covenant here with Noah. The Abrahamic covenant. Responsibilities, Abraham and his descendants were to be circumcised. That's an aspect of it, but it's also the covenant sign. The sign of the Abrahamic covenant was circumcision. And they had to obey God. And then the Mosaic covenant, I'm making these very simple. Israelites who obey God's commands and statutes and ordinances. The sign of the Mosaic covenant is basically the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest, one day in seven. The Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant states in 2 Samuel chapter 7 that one of David's descendants will be on the throne forever. How many of you know where Jesus comes from? He's from the line of David. And so God's fulfilled that Davidic covenant. And in the new covenant is prophesied in Jeremiah 31 and 31. Talks about this new covenant that God would make and is fulfilled in Jesus. Everybody say that. The new covenant is fulfilled in Jesus. Come on, say it like you mean it. The new covenant is fulfilled in Jesus. So is everybody in the new covenant? The answer to that is emphatically no. Everybody's invited to it. But if you don't enter into the covenant with God through Jesus, then you're not a part of the new covenant, though he reaches to you through my voice, even this morning. You enter into covenant with God by receiving his shed blood by faith over your sin. It is all of these covenants, they build upon each other, and they're constantly God's attempt at grabbing and pulling mankind. But the final covenant, the last covenant here, is the new covenant, the covenant of Jesus, sealed by his blood. You enter into it by faith, by believing on the Lord, by repenting of your sin. You can go to a church all your life until you look like a pew. You will not be able to enter into the new covenant. The only way the new covenant is that you enter into that contract, that agreement, is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is it. He shed his blood for you and me. You missed a great place to say hallelujah. And while I'm talking to the Episcopal leader there at the church, I said, I tried to put it in a way that was not, I didn't feel like it at that moment. I'm happy to be offensive. I'm happy to do it. I just felt to say it this way. Are you still preaching the traditional gospel? Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, believe on the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. This is someone who works full time for the church, says to me, what do you mean? I said, the gospel, the good news of Jesus dying on a cross and rising again. He said, if you have questions about doctrine and theology, you need to talk to the pastor. I said, okay, no, that's okay, because he wasn't there anyway. He said, and they have a little section for the Jews, and they have a little section for the Muslims, and they have this little thing over here. It is absolute apostasy. Someone who's apostate has defected from the army and they've run away. That's what apostasy is, a political term. A military term. Someone who's apostate is they were part of the army, and they turned heel and they run away. They're apostate, and that's what that church is. So, but doesn't Jesus love all those people? Of course he did. He died on a cross for them. However, he has stipulations. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ. To them who received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. That means if you don't receive him, listen very clearly to the words of this preacher right here. If you don't receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not forgiven. If you don't repent of your sin and receive Jesus as the single only payment for your sin, not how much money you gave, not whether you surrendered your life to the flames, no matter what you've done, no matter how many people you've helped cross the street and help the little ducklings and save all the little turtles and all the little, you can do all of those wonderful ecological things which we're not against. We need to take care of the earth. Amen. But none of those things save you. None of those things wash away. Can I preach in here? None of those things wash your sin away. There's only one thing. There's only one. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is then that you're translated, the Bible says, out of darkness into the kingdom of his son. It is then that your sin is thrown as far as the east is from the west. It is then that he writes your name in the Lamb's book of life. If you don't receive Jesus, you don't repent of your sin. If his sacred, precious, holy blood doesn't wash away your sin, then your sin remains. And the only thing that you'll have is a fearful expectation of judgment when you die. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And that is the new covenant. And you enter into it by believing the Lord Jesus Christ. God operates and relates to mankind on the basis of covenant. And there is no other way. Hey, come on. These covenants progressively reveal God's plan of redemption. Living in covenant. Well, how do I do that? How do I live in covenant? Well, receive Jesus. Receive by faith Jesus. Know him. Number two, know him and serve him. Lift your hands to heaven. Oh God. Oh God. Got some keys in my monitor, please. Lord. That's it. Holy Spirit, I don't know, something's happening in my heart as your pastor. I'm becoming increasingly bothered in the most holy way. I'm so burdened for our educational system. I'm dark money pumping into the state of Alaska. Millions. Millions to sway elections, to put people in positions. Many times, not always, many times elected officials and people in offices that are making decisions failed at everything else in their life, and they just sort of picked that up. Say, well, let me see if I can do this. Without character. Where are the Nehemiahs? Where are they? Where are they? Noah, man, righteous man, he had no Holy Spirit. Righteous in his generations. Didn't have the Spirit. He didn't have a Bible. You have that. We have that. I have that. I call forth covenant people. To serve in the state of Alaska, in the church, but in the marketplace. I call forth business leaders, educators, people who can stand against a stiff wind of the age, the demonic assignment that's come to break covenant. Our country, God, is backslidden. Our state still hasn't changed, even though it's been decreed at the highest court of the land about abortion. Turn it back to the state of Alaska, still not done anything. One of the worst abortion laws in all of America. Would you touch our governor? Would you awaken people? Please get involved in the political process. God has spoken to some of you to serve, but you're like, no, I can't. Yes, you can. I don't know how we can continue and not have a school. I'm like a prophetic visionary. I've got enough vision to have thousands of people going for it. It's the way I'm wired. We need somebody to lead the school. Can't lead the school. I can't even spell, but I got vision and faith for it. Need somebody to lead the school. We need people to rise, covenant leaders to rise. Would you pray for that? The elections, there's more elections coming in October. Would you pray? Would you agree? I feel like God's giving us a strategy to make a difference. As I close, if you're here and you've not made covenant with God, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You want to repent of your sin all across this place, those online. You say, that's me, Pastor. You want your sins forgiven. You want heaven to be your home. You want Jesus to come to take up residence on the inside of you. You want to fulfill the purpose and destiny that he has for you in this life. So that when you stand before him, you hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He loves you. And he reaches to you through my voice this morning and through this text. He's a covenant God, and he reaches to you through Jesus. He reaches his hand. Take his hand. He reaches for your heart. Says, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. It's okay. Come to me the way that you are, and I will change you. I will take out the heart of stone. I will put in the heart of flesh. Come to me. Receive me. Repent of your sin. I'll wash it all away. I'll take away the guilt and the shame. I'll make you new. Come, be born again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Apostle Paul says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you call on him this morning online? Those listening in the future by podcast or on any of our platforms. You say, that's me, Pastor. Wonderful. Lift your hand high if you want to pray this prayer as an acknowledgement. You want to give your heart to Jesus first time or make a recommitment all across this house. Lift your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. Pray with me, won't you? God bless you. I see that hand, son. I see that hand, sir. God bless you. Would you stand and pray this with me right out loud? Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus, the initiator of the new covenant. I believe that he died on a cross. I believe he rose again from the grave. Forgive me of all of my sin now. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for hearing my prayer.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.